To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Now let's play human foosball!
Eminem has scored the fastest playoff goal surely in Columbus history! Finley with this run, it's spectacular! Oh, what a goal! Ethan Finley with a brace inside 2 minutes!
This is the Massive Report Podcast.
I was working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
He did the monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle.
And good evening, welcome to the Massive Report. Final, well, crew Massive Report of the season. We may have a little trick up our sleeve for next week. What's going on? My name is Matt Goschert. I'm joined by Jake Norman. I'm joined by Alex Static. I'm joined by Sam Bommy. How you gentlemen doing this evening?
Pretty good.
Cool.
I'm tired, Matt.
Are you ready for next Tuesday to happen and
I'm
just
so,
be done?
So ready for next Tuesday.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
We won't talk about your job, but we will talk about the fact that you will probably be at this bar wine drunk on Wednesday.
Box wine drunk.
I'll be hungover on Wednesday.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Oh man, a lot of stuff to get to tonight. We were kind of hoping to do like a live stream of this tonight. I don't know what's up with the Wi-Fi, so
Hendox's gonna Hendox, man.
Hendox's gonna Hendox. I think it's just because Kashmir's over there playing Candy Crush. Is that what you're doing? Tinder?
Better not.
Yeah,
be.
Totally on Tinder. As I make fun of your girlfriend within like the first couple minutes. I actually was making fun of you there, not your girlfriend.
It's fine.
Yeah. Insinuating that she was on Tinder.
Let's just keep it moving.
Who do you want to thank, Alex?
Our sponsors, Matt.
Yeah, let's do that.
Thank you, sponsors.
They paid a lot of good money this year. You should probably name them.
Ohio's Home.
Uh-huh.
Grove City Barbershop. You should be not asking me this question because I'm so tired. Hendox. Mm-hmm. They're kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Land Grant. Fireball Press.
Yep. Well done, dude.
Is that
good
it?
Job, yeah.
Is that
no,
it? Okay.
No, you did well. All you right. did very well there.
White Castle.
Abercrombie & Fitch.
No, not Abercrombie. White Castle, for sure.
Dude, White Castle should be our sponsor next year.
If White Castle sponsors our show, yeah.
That would be amazing.
That would be sweet.
Do they still have the veggie sliders?
Yeah, and they're dope.
Oh, like, nice.
You should definitely
try them. I haven't tried one yet.
Yeah, they're good.
I've had the veggie burger at Wendy's, and it was very good.
It's not bad.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I have not had the White Castle veggie sliders yet.
Yeah, you have three sauces, and I personally prefer the sweet Thai.
Mm.
It's very good, very good, very good sauce. They have more calories than a regular slider, which is kind of weird. But
the vegetable that they chose was actually just pork liver.
It's like soybeans. It's actually really good.
Yeah. That's cool.
Super good, Matt.
Back to you.
Thank you, White Castle.
Yeah, back to you, Alex.
Yeah.
So let's talk a couple of things here. Protected list. We've got an expansion draft coming up. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
We can only lose a maximum of one player in the expansion draft to two teams. So that's a thing we got going for us.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you protect? You got 11. Alex, go.
Well, I didn't make a list because I didn't know we were talking about any of this. So, let's see. I'm just going to rattle off 11 players, and we'll see if I forget anybody. Christian Martinez, I want to protect. I'm assuming that we will work something out so that we can keep him. I think he's a good young talent. I think that we could kind of mold him.
Are we live, Sam? Because I just got a Facebook push notification that said we're live. We're trying to be live. Okay, so if you can hear us out there, hi, people. Go ahead and send us questions if you'd like to. Continue, Alex.
Okay.
We're not live, so they didn't hear that yet.
Okay.
Cool. Christian Martinez, Zach Steffen is a given. We are going to keep him. He's probably the future number one, or at least going to compete with Brad Stuver for that role. I think I protect Brad Stuver, honestly. I think might as well. We're going to lose one player. I would rather lose somebody who is not fully kind of in the system. Protect Justin Merrim. I would protect Ethan Finley.
Mm-hmm.
Protecting Tony Chani and Will Trapp. What am I up to right now? I don't even know.
I'm
just going to name players, Matt.
Okay,
and
cool.
I'm going to probably name either more or less than 11, but it's fine.
Makes sense because you're not good at math.
Yep. I would protect Francis. I would protect Afol. Texaro, I would protect Nico Ness, I would protect Ola Kamara, Adam John.
You definitely named more than 11 at this point.
Jake.
You count, Jake. You tell me. Who would you protect?
Let's see. Obviously Ola. For me, probably definitely Harrison Awful.
Mm-hmm.
Merrim, definitely. Because he's, starting to do his thing.
Yeah. Closer to the mic.
Sorry.
You're fine.
This is my first time.
You're all good.
You're good.
Adam John, which obviously having re-signed him, we're going to protect him. let's see. Shoot. I guess Will Trapp. Ethan Finley, definitely. If he can just come out next season in his usual form.
Mm-hmm.
Ness. Shoot. How many is that?
I thought you were literally counting on your fingers, which is
tapping
why I was
my fingers, but not paying attention.
Is that a Canadian thing?
It might be.
Okay, fair enough.
I've got my list, Matt.
Okay. Yeah, go back to you, Alex.
Come back to me.
All right.
Oh, this sucks. You know what? I'm gonna leave Waylon Francis and Brad Stuver exposed, because this is the only way this is gonna work. All right, so let me add. I'm going to protect Mo. And I am going to protect. Do I want to protect Stuver?
Is there an app that you can actually pick who you're going to protect?
No.
Is that what you're doing?
No, I have a little note thing on my
iPhone.
Okay,
I thought you found some sort of MLS app that they tried to monetize by who are you going to protect? Like fantasy draft protection.
This is already completely off the rails. Let me go.
No, it's not off the rails. I'm going to say mine real quick while you figure your life out. I'm going to say Corey Ash, Tony Chani, Mohamed Saeed, Justin Merrim, Federico Higuain, Cedric Mbwadi, Adam John. I'm going to say Ethan Finley, Hector Jimenez, Ola, Will, and Gaston. That's who I got. And I know I left a lot of guys off, but you can only protect 11.
Honestly, mine's pretty much the same as yours.
Yeah.
I mean, I would probably not, and this is horrible because I'm a huge Cedric fan.
Yeah.
But just judging by, his injuries and his performance overall,
I could see that. I mean, then who would you protect if you don't protect him?
Did you say Steve Clark? Because I say Steve Clark.
I didn't. I actually didn't pick a goalkeeper.
I think, I don't know. He's...
Which is dangerous, I know, but yeah. You're only going to lose one.
I mean, I would probably protect Clark over Stuver overall, and then definitely Steffen. Just because I don't think they would have picked him up.
You think so? You don't think
they
so?
They had plans for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
But that's just my opinion. Yeah, pretty much the same, though.
Yeah. All right. Alex? All
right. Yeah, I've got my list.
You got your list.
So I'm going to leave Mohamed Saeed exposed, unfortunately. I really want to protect him, but I'm not entirely convinced that he will get picked. So my final list is Ola Kamara, Harrison Awful, Steve Clark, Nico Ness, Gaston Sauro, Federico Higuain, Zach Steffen, Will Trapp, Tony Chani, Ethan Finley, Justin Merrim.
All right. Sam, you got a list?
Yes. Give me just a second.
Cool.
Talk amongst yourselves.
All right. Anybody do anything fun over the weekend?
No. My weekend sucked.
My weekend was great. Why'd your weekend suck?
Because I worked all weekend.
Oh, that's stupid. Okay, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I won't have to. One more weekend.
One more weekend, eight, you want to
more
do
days.
That?
8 more days.
I tattooed a face.
Oh, that seems like your client made a poor life choice.
Yep.
But what did your client get on the face? Are you allowed to say it? Is there some sort of HIPAA thing there?
No, I can. That's what tattooing is about, stories. No, I tattooed some anchor on this dude's face. I was like, cool.
Anchorface is that dude's new nickname, if that's my friend.
Yeah.
Sup, Anchorface.
If you see it around town.
Wait, was it like a boat anchor or like the battery I have that my phone is charging off of? Because
wish it would have been that. That'd
it
would have
been way awesome if it was the battery, like the battery company.
You should do that, Matt. I'll pay for the tattoo if you get the anchor.
I'm not getting anything tattooed on my face.
All right.
I'm sorry. This is a work of damn art, okay. Alex.
Because I promise you,
it might be a Picasso, but it's a work of art.
We could crowdfund you getting a cell phone battery tattooed on your face. I'm 99% sure.
Well, like we talked about off the podcast, off the show, everything has a price.
No, we're not going to pay you big money. We're just going to pay for the tattoo.
No, that's not happening then.
All right.
No, that's not happening at all.
We'll see how many beers you have by the end of the day. Maybe we can make this happen when you're like super tanked.
Well, this is my second, and it's about a fifth empty at this point, so I think we'll be okay.
We'll keep drinking. I'm going to get that Kickstarter going, and then we'll see how the night ends.
Why don't you scuttle off to the bar there and give me a shot, and we'll figure it out.
Oh, boy.
I don't want to.
All right.
Sam.
Microphone's a little far here, but
you know, you could move it closer to you.
No, I can't.
Oh, you can't.
The amount of cables that are back here is ridiculous right now. Somebody is gonna have to keep count because my hands are full.
Alright. Jake's keeping count.
Harrison Awful. Dilly Duca. Higuain. Adam John. Hector Jimenez. Ola Camara. Christian Martinez. Though he's on loan. That one's weird. Justin Miro.
Can you even protect him?
I don't know because I don't know how long the loan is. I don't think you have to protect him.
I don't think you have to protect people on loan.
Is he even eligible for that?
Huh?
He's on loan?
Yeah.
He's on loan from maybe if he's on loan from a different MLS team, but I think, he's on loan from a different team outside the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think you have to protect him.
I don't know. But if I have to protect him, Christian Martinez for sure. If not, that's even better. Miram, Ness. How many do I have now?
You're at 10, Sam.
At 10?
Yeah.
I believe.
Ooh, and you didn't say Higuain yet.
I did not say Higuain. It comes down to Saro and Steffen.
Oh, wow. Sam over here spitting hot fire.
This is a bad list, Sam. You got to protect both of those dudes and Higuain.
Yeah.
Come on.
Especially Saro.
Yeah.
He's got a kid.
If I don't protect Christian Martinez, then we're good at 11. Oh, my God. I think the only one that would be 50-50 on this list for me would probably be Hector Jimenez and playing the game of whether somebody else would pick him up or not.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
I mean, and that's very...
You might pick Dilly Duca over Zach Steffen, though. I mean, to me, that's like...
No, in that case, I'd be picking Dilly Duca over Hector Jimenez.
Okay.
He's so hit and miss for me.
Thing about Dilly Duca... Dilly Duca is hit or miss, but I think I've seen enough in the last few games to see that he might have some progress under the Berhalter system.
Yeah.
Possibly. I'm on FIFA 17, I'm playing with him as that attacking forward.
Oh, God.
Right now. He's actually doing pretty well. So, I have a love-hate relationship with Dilly Duca because I think he's kind of like Miram, but it gets into his head more and he gets more frustrated. But I think that when he's on, Dilly Duca is on.
Oh, when he's,
he's got incredible skill, and I think maybe landing in the right system would help him. But then again, are we the right system to help him become that player who's right now is his... He was drafted before Miram and Finley. Remember that?
Yeah, I know.
and he hasn't, and he's making less than the two of them because he hasn't developed nearly as much.
Can I tell a FIFA story?
I was going to tell a FIFA story, and then you could tell a FIFA story.
So I 2 years ago,
you dick.
On my career mode on FIFA, I won MLS Cup like 5 years in a row. And I kept signing like all these like 17-year-old kids who turned out to be like $20-30 million players, and I sold them all, and then I bought Neymar when he was like 25 years old, and he scored like 60 goals for me, and then I sold him to Real Madrid for $100 million.
I'm surprised you didn't buy Falcao. I'm a little disappointed. Or Kaká.
Falcao is, I mean, when we're being real here, Falcao 2 years ago, much better player than Neymar ever was. But we will get the opportunity to see Falcao in the flesh come Christmas, Cowtown. It's back on for the off season, guys.
The one thing that
he's tearing it up in Monaco, though.
My one FIFA story that I have is that I had one season, and it was the last season Eric Gehrig was with the crew, and I bought FIFA like right when it came out, and I started playing FIFA on career mode with the crew, and Eric Gehrig for at least half the season was the leading scorer for the crew. I have no idea why. Like, I wasn't attempting to like pass him the ball more or do anything like that, but I kept tweeting at him, and he kept replying that it was the funniest thing.
See, that's like, not so far-fetched. If you remember, what was it like the last year we had Josh Williams, or the year before the last year we had Josh Williams? For half the season, Josh Williams was our leading scorer.
Oh yeah, no, and it was almost all on like corners and like things like that. But it was just the fact that Gehrig kept responding on Twitter was pretty damn funny to me. Yeah. So
the names that I'm leaving out on this list, obviously, I'm not protecting Will, I'm not protecting Tony, Chani, I'm not protecting Wayne.
Will Trapp.
And you can call me crazy, but.
There's no way Will Trapp is not protected. If we lost Will Trapp in an draft to another team after the season we've had, like there would be like casual fan riots in the streets.
Yeah, but we're not talking about who. We're not talking about who do you expect the team to protect. We're talking about who would you protect.
Yeah.
You know,
who would
that's
you?
A totally different
story. I would protect Will Trapp purely because people would kill me otherwise.
Here's what worries me about Trapp. Trapp is probably one or two concussions away from probably early retirement. Considering how long it took him to recover from that, not this last concussion, but the one before.
Yeah.
I think with head injuries becoming a much more prominent thing now, like the understanding and the diagnosis and things like that, I see a lot more players, kind of like Tyson Wahl. Tyson Wahl could have probably played a couple more years, but because of concussions, he was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And this is what worries me about Trapp right now is that he gets one more bad concussion, maybe two, and he might be considering not playing anymore.
Yeah, well, he's like 3 years into his MLS career, and he's already had like 3-4 years.
He's four years in.
He's already had two major concussions.
That's an issue.
That's my only worry. Obviously, I wish that I don't wish any of that on him.
Well, of course not. No.
My only concern is that you have a lot more concern about head injuries now than you used to.
Yeah, in sports in general, definitely. It's a big thing.
All right. What's our next topic, Sam?
We already talked about highlight of the season. We already talked about low light of the season. What are you looking most forward to in 2017?
Can I have one serious answer and one not serious answer?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, my not serious answer is watching Kai Kamara get cut from New England Revolution in the offseason. I'm just kidding. Don't tweet me, guys. I'm just joking. I don't hate Kai. I kind of hate Kai.
If you dislike what Alex just said, tweet at Real Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yes. Continue. Well,
no, but what I'm most looking forward to seeing next season, what players we bring in. I think that we have a really, really good scouting network. I think we have some of the best scouts in the league. I think they find players that none of us have ever heard of, but who turn out to be really good. I remember when we signed Harrison Afful, I was like, who? Like, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched the highlights of him, and I was like, I could see this guy really working in Columbus.
I remember when we signed Santiago Prim and how good he was.
This is much different than that.
But you throw something at him.
You have Harrison Afful, you have Nico Ness. I mean, we're signing really great players. Oba Kamara. In addition to that, I truly believe that we are going to see serious investment to replace Kai Kamara. We are going to see a $1 or $2 million designated player brought in, somebody who is going to earn more than Federico Higuain, break the club's record for salary. And I think that could be a big name. And I think that's the kind of thing that's really going to kind of lift the spirits of fans. And I think for the longest time, Crew fans have had this, like, inferiority complex. You know, we've had this kind of Napoleon complex with everything. You see it even with, like, this new stadium. People are saying, oh, well, you know, if we don't get that new stadium, they're going to move the team to Vegas. Like, oh, again?
Jesus Christ.
Are we really going to go through this again? Like, Precourt has specifically said, no, team's not moving. So I think this is going to kind of maybe put some of that to bed, where you're going to see people saying, all right, cool. We are competing with these teams for, you know, big money signings. We're competing with these teams for big name signings. I don't know if it's going to be a big name or not. I hope it is, because I think the team could use it. But regardless, I think we're going to see some serious investment, and it's going to be fun to see how those players pan out.
Yeah, I guess the thing I look forward to most is probably, like Alex said, you know, what we do in the offseason, who we sign, and to see how it works, to see if there are any changes. I'm kind of curious and excited for. I know Berhalter is very into his thing, and that's cool. I get that. But, yeah, I guess to see who we bring in, to see if there are any tweaks, whether they be major or minor, how the people that we've signed, even the past two seasons, like, you know, as a longer off season, to see how they get, that will be better for them to cohesively work.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of what we missed this year, but that's just my opinion.
I'm really looking forward to USA-Mexico.
That's not in 2017.
Is that a thing?
It's after 2016 season, so I'm allowed to say it.
About Canada-Mexico.
Canada-Mexico? That's thing?
That's the next cycle.
Yeah.
That's the next cycle.
That can no longer happen.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
Yeah, I know. That's I'm not just a saying thing. Next cycle, be ready.
Kyle okay. Aaron, baby.
Looking forward to Gibraltar in a friendly soon. So
I'll
Canada,
give that.
Canada
so
can one, get a little
1-1 draw.
1-1 draw.
I'm waiting for Kyle Aaron to get shipped overseas so I can fully not support Orlando.
Oh.
Just get on the bandwagon, man.
Go stand in the corner.
Ricky Kaká, greatest player of all time.
Kaká's great, but Kyle Aaron, that's my boy.
I'm looking forward to off-season moves. I'm looking forward to just this entire season being over and just being able to send it out to sea in a boat and set the boat on fire in proper Viking funeral fashion and just be done with this crap. Like, this... Everybody knows this season has sucked, and I'm glad to have it over. I'm glad to not have to deal with this anymore.
One other thing that I would say I'm really looking forward to is to see whether or not this system still functions next season. We've seen a lot of talk from Greg throughout this year that the reason that we were not able to perform was individuals were not performing up to the standards that they expect them preseason. Other people have said perhaps it's a kind of systemic problem. Maybe other teams are figuring out how to play Berhalter's game, and the problem is basically in the tactics and in the coaching. That will be put to the test next season. Greg gets another shot at it. If we see the same problems cropping up next season, then maybe you start to say, okay, maybe teams are figuring out Greg's plan before the game starts and there's nothing we can do to win. I kind of don't think that's going to happen, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on. We've heard it from a lot of Crew fans this season that they are very unhappy with the performance from Berhalter. Some fans want him gone, although I think that's really premature. But it won't be premature if next season goes the same way. And so Greg has to get the right guys in and show fans that, no, it's not the system. It was just a handful of players who hurt our ability to play the game. That's something else to keep an eye on, because if we get off to a really bad start, and it's May, and we're still playing like we were playing last season,
yeah,
fans are going to be very, very restless. And
it's going to be even worse than it is now.
Yeah, yeah. People are going to be pissed. So keep an eye on that.
All right. Next topic, Sam.
Oh, I was going to say what I was expecting, but fine.
Oh, go ahead. Say what you're expecting, Sam.
Are
we live now, by the way?
We're not. The Wi-Fi system is just not holding up, so we're not. Sorry, unfortunately. We tried.
Can't take much more of this cotton.
No, no. It was working perfectly at my house, but I have Wi-Fi that works. Anyway, I kind of like all of you said, I'm really looking forward to see how, really more how Precourt reacts to all of this. As a new sports owner, you're never really sure how they don't have. There's no track record.
Yeah.
You're never really sure how they're going to react. You're not really sure how wide that first string can open. You're not really sure what kind of. The only thing we know for sure is that he's not going to go for a short-term solution.
Yeah.
So that's good. But otherwise, I mean, it could be really interesting to see how he goes after, not him personally, but how he goes after Berhalter's recommendation and what he really ends up bringing in. But you're right. I'm looking to this season being thrown out to sea with a cement block around its ankles and drowned in the deepest part.
Yeah.
Would definitely like to see some more starter quality acquisitions. I still stand by that we're going to lose probably about 30-50% of this team, whether in contracts or just people that we're just not going to keep around anymore. I mean, you already had two people retire, so there's that.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, that's. I guess that's really it.
Can I chime in and say one more thing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I just. So I work downtown at a hotel. I'm a barista, and every time Precourt comes to a game at home, he stays at my hotel.
Oh, nice.
And I, you know, I've talked to him a few times about it because on match days I have a makeshift flag and I always put my scarf out over the thing and all the people are like, what is this? And I'm, anyways, besides that.
Precourt's even like that.
Yeah, he's like,
he's like, what's going on?
Like, yeah. What? Who are you?
Yeah.
But he's come up to me and I've asked him, you know, questions and things. And, you know, he tells me some stuff, but with that letter, like, that he sent in the offseason,
yeah.
But for the offseason, me being so excited about it is because the way he talked to me about it, he was very, you know, stern and passionate about it. Like, he was as, you know, pissed off as most of crew Twitter about all of it.
Is it possible to be as pissed off as crew Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. I didn't know.
If it's your money, I could totally get why you'd be pissed off about it.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's so, spending a lot of money, and players were not doing it.
And they're not performing. And yeah, I mean, I just see that's why I think the offseason is probably my most favorite part of the upcoming season because I feel like he really means it when he's going to say, or when he says, you know, I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to find players. You know, if they're not working, you know, they're gone. It's just. Yeah. Just the way it is. I mean,
all right.
Well, this leads to the next topic, which we kind of maybe touched on a little bit last podcast, but let's make this a little bit more in depth. Is how long do you think Berhalter lasts if the results are not there? Hold on. And you have to give an explanation for your response.
It's a sliding scale to me. And the thing is if they go out and they just crap the bed in the first handful of games, I think he's got a very short leash and he could be gone within a month or two. If they do not play well through April, if they don't put results together through April, I think Precourt gets pissed and you know, pulls the rug out from under him. If they stay in it, if they don't play terrible, then you could potentially see it going through midsummer. And then if they're still not in playoff contention at that point, you pull the cord at that point. If they do well, then obviously he's not going to be in the hot seat. So that's my thought on it. Alex?
I think he's going to be in place basically no matter what through the season, and here's why. And when I say that, I mean I really think that we could finish last in the league next season. And then
really?
And then he might go at the end of the season. But I think he is not going to be fired mid-season, and here's why. Anthony Precourt has built the entire system around Greg Berhalter, and I'm not just talking about the first team. But we have brought in academy talent in terms of coaching, in terms of staff, who play the exact same style. We're having the crew juniors play the same style that we have the first team play. And they would have to change so much about the kind of deep heart of what they're trying to build with Crew SC if they got rid of Berhalter. I really think that they want to kind of instill this system as the system for this team, the same way that Barcelona have Tiki-Taka, have their kind of La Masia system, where it kind of goes from the, you know, the kids when they're 6 years old all the way to when they're, you know, 25-year-old superstars. If you get rid of Berhalter, you're going to still want to bring in a coach who's going to play the exact same style. And so if the style is the problem, and if that's what they kind of feel like is going on, I still don't think they get rid of him. I think that they would say, okay, well, we need to bring in different players, or we need to bring in more expensive players, or we need to do something to bring this level up. But I think this is the kind of attacking soccer that Anthony Precourt wants to see. Anthony Precourt is a sports fan. He comes from the American kind of vein of sports ownership, where you don't just fire a coach after 6 months of a bad season. I think you give him another year, and I think that's what they're going to do. Greg is a very, very convincing guy if you ask to him about these things. I mean, they had that meeting for, I think it was season ticket holders. I can't remember. I was at it, and Greg had a PowerPoint presentation that was very convincing as to what was going wrong with the team.
Yeah.
Very convincing, and it basically laid out his explanation for what was going wrong. And basically, he put it on underperforming talent. It convinced me to a large degree, and I'm a pretty tough critic with this tactic stuff, because I've been calling for a plan B for 2 years.
Yeah.
And for a guy who's bought in already, like Anthony Precourt, I think it's going to be a very tough sell. No matter how angry the fans get, I'm not sure they can force his hand on this. I really think that what Anthony Precourt and Greg Berhalter want to do ultimately is to build a style of play that Crew SC is known for within American soccer.
Yeah.
And I think that style of play is going to be fluid attacking soccer with a 4-2-3-1 formation. And I think they're going to stick with him because of that. I think they have kind of picked their horse, and now they're going to let it run. And if it finishes last again, okay. But they've made their bet. They've brought in people to execute this vision for the future, and I think it would be very costly up and down the kind of development chain for them to part ways with the coach now. And so I think no matter what happens, pretty much, he's our coach through the end of next season. And I don't think any of this is going to be worth discussing because I really don't think we're going to have a repeat. But time will tell.
All right, Jake, your thoughts?
I pretty much kind of agree with Alex. I don't think Berhalter's going anywhere, even if, you know, we tank again. Just because, like you said, they've invested the time, the style of play. It's almost, you know, and especially this season, the way they've almost kind of restructured the youth, and they're just training those kids to come up and play in that, you know, that style. So when those kids get old enough, you know, homegrown players, what have you, it's more of a long-term thing, I think, for them, as opposed to, like, you know, obviously Precourt wants us to be a playoff contending team every year, but it's not something, I just don't see it happening instantly, you know. I guess pretty much agree with Alex for the most part. I mean,
always a good choice.
I don't see him sticking with it. I really don't. And there's a good chance I've been wrong a lot, so there's a good chance I'm wrong again. I wasn't wrong about us not making the playoffs, though, Alex. You were.
We're still gonna do it, Matt.
Mm-hmm. good. This
we're
year?
Gonna, we're going to turn around any game now.
Get the get the wild card really? In there.
Yeah, we're going to sneak in.
Get the, extra rando wild card.
Yeah. No, but the only reason that I was wrong in my prediction is because Radamel Falcao deal was a temporarily delayed.
It was a bust.
No,
it was
no,
it was like a total
delayed.
Bust.
It was just
like
delayed.
A not a thing that yeah. ever happened.
It was just delayed.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. Don't worry. Yeah. I have sources.
Yeah.
Falcao tweets me and is like, "Hey, Alex.
What's up, bro?
See you in Columbus soon, bud."
You're about to knock your Red Bull over, by
just
the way.
It's ticket, empty, man. Dude. It's
oh,
empty.
Okay. Well,
there's
I was
nothing
just trying
in
to help. I was just trying to help. Sam, do you want to go to break and we'll come back and we'll come back and we'll do the rest of this?
Push through.
Sure.
All right, let's do that.
We're not really live.
Oh, we're not live. Fine. Okay, I was trying to ask if we're live or not because I wanted to have people send questions in if we were live. But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. It's a two-segment show tonight. Stick around, folks.
Live on the fat man's dime. Stevedores bear the chair you ride. Show them where to go. Show the ghost to me.
Been good to know you so long. Been good to know you so long. It's been good to know you. This dusty old dust is a blowing me home. I've got to be rolling along. Again, of the place that I lived on the West Texas plains, in the city of Pampa, the county of Gray. Here's what all of the people there say. Well, it's so long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you.
All right, guys, we're back. Segment two of the Massive Report. Talk about this. What did we learn this year? Alex.
I think my mic is off.
Your mic is off. Yeah, there we go. Try it again.
Hello? It's really tough to say. I think we learned that Crew fans are still a little bit cynical when it comes to the team. I think we learned that the system is not flawless and that if you don't have the right people in place for the system, it can be really, really bad. I think we learned that our ownership is ready to invest money that maybe we didn't think they were, not just in players, but also in facilities. And I think that we learned that that the team is kind of here for the long haul and that we all kind of have to buckle up for good or for bad and ride this thing out. But I think this offseason is really going to be telling. Beyond this year, I think next season is really, really crucial for Columbus Crew SC, long term. And I hope that they get it right. I think that they will. But if we have another bad year, if we have another year like this, I think fans could really freak out more so than they did this year. So I hope that that doesn't happen. But what I think we learned is that this system is very fragile. And if you don't have the right people in the right spots, it's a disaster. If you do have the right people in the right spots, you can host MLS Cup.
Jake.
First and foremost, I learned not to ever respond to anybody on Twitter as far as hashtag CrewSC goes. Kind of just keep my cool.
God, I haven't done that for months.
Yeah.
It's been great. It's been absolutely great.
Yeah. And I learned that's for the better because snowball effect. Yeah, I think we learned that although I do love the Fort Columbus jerseys, and I've been pro Fort Columbus jerseys, just keep gold jerseys. If you're going to get rid of one, get rid of the black one.
Thank you.
People will get upset. Sam doesn't agree with me.
Sorry. I don't agree with you. Sorry. The black jerseys are badass.
Nope. They are pretty dope, but that that yellow, know what I'm saying?
Slobs like me disagree everywhere.
You know, Sam can spill an entire plate of spaghetti sauce on his black jersey and not have it be an issue.
Oh, totally. And
you just said slobs like me.
No, and black jerseys are awesome because on game days, I'm always showing up right before kickoff, and I've got tattoo ink all over my jersey.
And wasted as hell because you just ate a huge plate of poutine in the car.
Just had some poutine, slammed like three Molson Gold.
Poutine wasted, man.
Like, yeah, sorry. But, no, I think... kind of like what Alex said, the system isn't flawless. I think it depends on players. And I think now Berhalter sees that, Precourt sees that, and I think we're going to bring in players that they think are capable. Not that the people that they brought in beforehand they didn't think was capable or were capable of performing the system the way it needs to be performed, but you've had a season that tanked, and you can learn what works for your system and what doesn't work for your system.
Yeah. I learned this year that you shouldn't rest on your laurels. I learned this year that that whole, you know, adage about continuing to try to improve is a good thing. And I learned this year that... yeah, I don't even have a third thing.
Not a whole lot to take from this year.
Yeah, there's not. There is a lot to take from this year as to what to not do going forward. There isn't a lot of positive affirmation-y stuff. 2016 has kind of just sucked.
I'll forget it.
Prince died.
I had fun.
Prince died.
And Lemmy died, too.
Yeah, Lemmy died.
God died.
Yeah, like...
well, actually, God's still alive. Wayne Gretzky's still alive, so God's still alive. So.
That was the most Canadian thing ever.
It really is. Also, I love the story that he told just recently about the fact that he had a ball cap, like, super down, and he was at the Hockey Hall of Fame, and his kid wanted him to go do the little shooting practice interactive game, and he missed like three shots, and the teenager working there was like, maybe just get a little bit further down on, like, choke down on the stick a little bit. And he literally just pulled his hat up and looked at the kid, and the kid was like, holy shit, it's Wayne Gretzky. And then Wayne just left. He was like, so that was pretty fun. But all in all, 2016 can die in a fire. Crew-wise and amazing musician-wise, sorry.
But
not sorry.
We will always have Ola Kamara's hat trick forever in our memory.
Oh, yeah, good. Good.
That was amazing.
That made me happy, I'll be honest with you.
I would so much rather have a hat trick than to make the damn playoffs.
I would almost...
in this case, yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. If somebody told me ahead of time and they were like, listen, here's what's going to happen. Kai Kamara is going to want his hat trick.
I don't care.
But he's not going to get it, and he's going to burn a bunch of bridges. And then...
I don't care about Kai Kamara.
And then...
I don't.
And then Ola Kamara is going to get one. But in exchange for this, you have to miss the playoffs. I would be like, well...
No, that's...
maybe.
No. You don't do that, Alex. No.
Maybe.
A, you don't do that. B... who gives a shit?
Maybe.
Who gives a shit?
Well, here's the thing.
And I'll say, as an individual accomplishment, congratulations to Ola Kamara for scoring a hat trick. That is completely off the table as far as what I'm about to say. I'm very happy that Ola Kamara did it. I'm happy for him. Congratulations. I don't give a fuck about any individual player's one-game accomplishment when the team doesn't make the goddamn playoffs.
So here's my second...
by the way, we should put a language warning on this one, Sam, just FYI.
Here's my second...
sorry!
Here's my second...
sorry argument to all the people who are going to tweet me about I was in the car with my kids. But it happens.
So the second example that I have from, like, a bad season that had, like, a great moment I talk about this all the time, but it's worth talking about all the time because it was incredible. When Sebastian Miranda scored that 20-yard header from the corner kick from...
That was insane! It was amazing!
From Vukovic.
But it was a crap season!
But that moment made it not a crap season for me, personally.
Moments do not make seasons for me.
For me.
Seasons make seasons for me, Alex.
See, for me, I have... It's a fun scale, not like a where we've placed on the table scale.
Yes, but I have fun when we win.
I have fun when we win and when we lose. If... we score 20-yard headers. Or if Ola Kamara scores a hat-trick after one of our star players left for not scoring a hat-trick.
I hope
like
our
a week
next
before.
Designated player is a clown on a unicycle then. Because you will have so much fun.
You have to admit, Matt, that would be pretty cool.
It would be pretty cool. It would be pretty cool. We wouldn't make the playoffs.
But we would have the only unicycle soccer player in the world, and that would be fun.
Yeah,
and he could score a hat-trick on a unicycle.
But seriously,
if he scored a goal riding a unicycle, I would...
On a unicycle would be a crap load of fun, but you know what? It's not going to freaking get us anywhere.
Yeah, but what if he scored a goal on the unicycle, though, Matt?
I'd walk out.
I don't
Matt's
even know
smiling.
If that's...
Matt wants this to happen.
I don't even know if that's... I want this to happen in Nordica Cup next year.
Listen.
I want... You know what I want? You know what I want next year? You know what I want next year? I want somebody on the Murderers Row team to dress up like a clown, ride a unicycle, and score a goal in Nordica Cup.
You know what would be really funny if La Turbina had to ride unicycles, every single member of the team, because they would still win?
They would. Yeah. They would. They're very good. They're very good at the soccering.
They're very talented.
They're very talented group of human beings.
Yeah, they're much better than all the rest of the teams.
And I applaud them.
Yeah.
I applaud them for that. My team never won, but I scored like 3 goals at one game. It was pretty awesome.
If Anthony Precourt...
I did score a hat trick in Nordica Cup, just so you know. That's a thing I did.
If
that was all 3 goals right there.
Yeah.
No. It was the only 3 goals for my team. You remember that game.
I was there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah.
I think...
We didn't ask you, Sam.
I can mute your mic. This is the power that I have. I think what we learned is probably the same thing that Berhalter learned. Is it's great to get all 11 starters from an MLS Cup back the following year, but that's a lot of eggs to put in one basket. And when that basket didn't work out, that kind of totally messed things up. I think what we learned too is that, you know, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this, but there's a lot of things that happened this past season that really shouldn't have happened for one reason or the other, on the field or off the field. And I'm not just talking about the team. I'm talking about the team. I'm talking about the supporters. I'm talking about the Nordec. You know, I miss the days when we weren't as big. I miss the days where there was the camaraderie. And there are various reasons for why that camaraderie has gone down the tubes for the most part, and why the Nordec will probably never, ever be the same way it was in 08, maybe 09, even 2010. I would love to see that happen, but I would love to see people work together to make that happen. I'd love to see people that want to see that old Nordec that weren't there for when it was in its glory days. You know, maybe help to make that happen. This is the thing. And this is not a sports only thing. This is actually everywhere. Anywhere where you're depending on volunteers or people that have to come together to work together. This is a problem that only 7 to 10% of the group that really wants to do stuff actually gets up and does stuff. And you know, if you could imagine if, let's say, 20% of the Nordec actually put their hands together and were like, we're going to make this work, I think this could really, really change. I think this could really, really change. But overall, you know, from a team standpoint, I think, like I said, Berhalter, I think, learned some things as a young coach. He learned some things that he did not get to see in Europe. MLS is MLS, and it's a different breed than everything else. And I don't think he's going to repeat the mistakes that he did this year. I think he's learned from this, and that might actually be
the biggest thing. I mean, it's one thing for us to talk about sacking Berhalter and how the team didn't achieve this year and how you were in MLS Cup last year. Well, guess what? Portland did not make the playoffs this year either. That's number one. Number two, when almost every analyst and every coach who knows anything about soccer is telling you this guy is brilliant, there's something to be said to that, whether we believe it or not. I think that his experience failed him this time because he's so young, and I don't know. I really think next season is going to be really good. I really do.
I want to add to that a little bit and say, not only do I think that Berhalter learned a lot, I think Precourt learned a lot as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's also really important. Precourt tried a lot of stuff this season, and some of it worked and some of it did not work. His staff, the same way. I mean, they're
trying stuff.
And they're making improvements, and they're learning. And to have ownership that is kind of willing to do that, to kind of try to make things better, I think that's important. I think one of the problems that I had with the Hunts is that I never felt like the Hunts were trying to make Columbus Crew as an organization necessarily better than they were. They wanted to preserve the team. They wanted to preserve this kind of asset that they had and just wait until they could sell it for as big of a profit as they could. But they were never that interested in winning. They were never that interested in better facilities or better experience for the fans. At least not in the later years. I think Lamar was.
Lamar was, but I don't think anybody after that was.
But I think that Anthony Precourt, and I think that his letter says a lot, and the way he interacts with fans says a lot. He is not the kind of person who wants to sit back and just let this asset build. I'm not even sure he's doing this necessarily for the money. I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, he's a businessman. This is all about the money for him.
Well, he's a businessman, but he's not a bullshitter.
Yeah,
but not only that, but I think it's just, it seems to me like this is a business thing for him, but it's also something that he is doing because he likes sports.
Yeah, and he wants to be my point.
He really enjoys it.
And he wants to be a sports owner, and he seems like the kind of guy who, okay, if he's going to do it, he wants to do it well. He wants to win. And to have ownership like that, to be one of the lucky teams that has this kind of new breed of MLS owner, that's a really good thing. And so I feel like we're in good hands. I feel like whether next season pans out or not, I think it will. But whether it does or not, long term, I feel really, really great about the way this franchise is going. I can't wait to see what the future holds, and bring on 2017.
All right. Last topic before we get done here, I do want to talk about this for a second. I'm going to run through the individual matchups because the MLS playoffs are on at this point. We are through the wild card round, and we are through the first round of the actual playoffs in earnest. I know you're going to have some hot takes on this, Mr. Jake, so we'll start with you. The Montreal Impact up 1-0 against New York Red Bull.
I mean, obviously I'm biased. I was born in Montreal. But, you know, I want Montreal to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Because reason, I don't like the Red Bulls for whatever reason. But however, it's just like, they've had their ups and downs through the season, but, I mean, as far as their game goes as a cohesive unit, like, they play well. They've got Piatti, who I'm just a huge fan of. Mm-hmm. They're just pretty much unstoppable.
No Drogba, though.
No Drogba. You know what? I think they, honestly, I feel like they do better without Drogba.
Yeah, I don't think they need Drogba.
Like, he's just there because he's there. Like, I mean,
he's there to sell tickets.
He's not fully fit right now.
Yeah,
yeah, and he's not. And Drogba, like, you know, let's keep it real. He's Drogba.
Yeah. Alex. But, oh, good. Sorry.
I was just going to say, but I just think overall, as a whole, like, they're more cohesive and consistent, more consistent than the Red Bulls. Like, they started off the season, like, tanking.
Yeah. I think Montreal wins the series as well.
I pick Montreal.
Yeah, Alex.
Yeah, I think Montreal are the better team. Piatti is one of the better players in the league, and really does not get the kind of attention that he deserves because he's not a big name. You know, if Andrea Pirlo was playing as well as Piatti has played since he came to MLS, there would be like MLS league made documentaries on him at this point. I mean, it would be stupid. Or if he played for a big team, if he played for Seattle, there would be the same thing. He's a really great player. I don't know. They have a good team. They're kind of peaking at the right time, which again is so important in this thing. I mean, they're not. I personally don't know if they're as good as the Red Bulls, man for man. But I mean, they did what they had to do in leg one, and so now they can kind of the ball's in their court. I think they're going to get it done. Yeah. And I don't think they're going to make the final, but I would love it if they did, because Montreal is a cool town. And
yeah.
Yes, it is.
They have cool fans. So.
All right. We'll go to the other Eastern Conference matchup here before we go to the West.
Could you imagine New York Red Bulls yelling and screaming at Jesse March after 2 years in a row of being top of the East and still not winning the East?
Well, that's just how they are.
Jesus. Second match here. Toronto, NYCFC. Toronto beats NYCFC 2-0. Question to the table: who do you hate more?
I hate the big money team that always underperforms and doesn't really know what they're doing.
That's both of them.
That's the joke. That's the joke, Sam.
That's the joke.
No, but I hate New York City more because they play in a baseball stadium than Toronto FC, who play in a CFL stadium.
Yeah.
That was a soccer stadium first.
Yeah, go Argos.
Yeah, but
go CFL. Argos.
Yeah. No, I mean, I hate...
It's really hard to dribble around that field goal post, too. Just so you know.
See, New York City are like...
Moose crossing.
The fact that there are that many fans selling out Yankee Stadium who are New York City fans when they should have been Metro fans the entire time.
Where were they 10 years ago?
Yeah. Is the subway really that bad, guys?
20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years 20. Ago. 20. Dare I say.
Yeah. You can't take a subway? Like a 40-minute subway try?
You can
like,
see...
Like, it's a train ride, guys.
You can pretty much see Red Bull Stadium from Manhattan.
It's stupid. And I hate them. And their fans are terrible. Their fans think that they are like these, you know, ultra-hardcore, like... You know, English hooligans.
You know,
honestly,
the guys that named themselves after the Ted Leo album were actually very nice to us.
Hearts of Oak?
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't refer to them by their actual name. I refer to them as the guys that named themselves after the. Yeah, they. It's yeah.
When I hear Hearts of Oak, all I can think of is the South African team.
You have to keep in mind they might be very nice people. They also, when they were starting, had an application form that you had to fill out
and you had to be sponsored by somebody
to be considered for membership in their supporters group.
So like
group.
Joining a firm.
Oh,
so,
I know. No.
Yeah.
I don't really have much love for them other than the fact that they weren't dicks to us the one time in New York.
So here's the thing. So I am cheering for Toronto in this matchup because Trufford.
Sinner.
They have paid their
sinner.
They have paid their price, and now they are getting their due reward. But they will not make it. They will not hoist the trophy
they'll
at the
lose,
end of the
they'll
season.
They'll lose to MLS, or they'll lose to Montreal.
And I hope it's they fun. Never win MLS Cup ever because they don't deserve it.
Yeah.
I want them to
they
go
do
on like
deserve
a,
butter.
I want them to go on like a Cubs since we're in the World Series, guys. World Tribe. But I want them to be like the Chicago Cubs and just have like. Get real close year after year, but never make it.
Yeah.
I think their fans...
See you again in 2057, Cubs.
No, they need to just keep like getting far into the playoffs, but then choking at the last minute.
I think there is
until
something...
Javinko is old and they can't do it
I'm
anymore.
I'm going to make a reference there's that only like...
There's something to be said about the work that Patrick Vieira did at NYCFC, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, he laid the ground for what they have now.
I think he kind of straightened out some of the things that need straightened out. Which, so, I don't want to say my hate for Toronto is great, but my dislike for NYCFC is a little bit less, even though they are owned by Man City. I guess my hatred for Toronto is more than my dislike for NYCFC.
Well, let's keep this. I wonder if this was not Patrick Vieira, if we would be saying the same stuff. So they are probably going to be knocked out in the first round of MLS playoffs. They have three designated players.
That's progress from what they had last year. And they still had the same amount of designated players.
Yeah, but last year was terrible. I mean, just because
that's what I'm saying.
Just because they're bad and not terrible doesn't mean that. I mean, they're not bad, but they're playing poorly in the playoffs.
I'm just saying that there's it's some credit should be given to his ability to win or to manage games to win. I'm not saying they're going to win. I would like, honestly, I'd like to see them win and see Toronto lose. Because I don't really care to see an all Canadian Eastern Conference final.
I do.
Sorry, Jake.
Bring it.
I think it'd be fun.
Bring it. Vamos Canada.
Be at best.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun.
It'll be like 0-0, and then it'll end up in penalty kicks.
And then they'll apologize to each other.
Yeah, and then they'll apologize to each other, and then everybody gets free Tim Hortons. It's going to be great.
I like that.
So what I'll say to Alex first is lols, hashtag Cubs in five. I'm well aware that can't happen. It's a reference. And they can't, yeah, they can't win.
Keep going.
You dicks. All right. Second thing is let's go on to ask you about
Toronto. Is that baseball?
Yes.
Cubs?
Toronto? You want to talk about Toronto at all, or you want to just
like Toronto on, NYC?
You want to just spit on the floor and
I kind of just hate them both, but I think right. Toronto will.
Toronto's going to win
just because. Yeah. I don't know. They're getting like it's MLS. It all depends when you get hot. They're getting hot at the right time.
Toronto's going to win, and then MLS writers are going to be like, "Is Sebastian Giovinco the greatest player in the world?"
Oh, and that's exactly
does he deserve to be captain for the Italy national team?
He can spin around the ball.
He should win the ball d'Or. You know.
Yeah,
this is honestly why I drink, guys. LA versus Colorado. LA won the first leg, 1-0.
Yeah, let's go. This is okay. People are going to be pissed at me for this, but I want LA to win it all because all of the other teams in this competition, other than FC Dallas, who are out, which we will talk about in a minute, make me sick to my stomach. So, Steven Gerrard, sure, you can get a trophy.
Montreal makes you sick to your stomach?
After this year, anyway.
Montreal aren't going to win. They're not going to win the Cup, and I don't want it to be Seattle. I don't want it to be New York City. I don't want it to be Toronto FC. I do not want it to be... Yeah, no.
Seattle has plenty of time to shit the bed, by the way.
I'm totally with Alex on this.
Just give the Galaxy another MLS Cup. They won't appreciate it
at all. They've won so many. Who gives a shit?
Their fans won't care. LAFC are going to come into the league, and then they'll be able to be like, "Hey, yo, we have a cup, so who cares?" And then it'll be, "Yeah, but you're still Chivas USA." I just don't even care. Just give them the stupid cup. Let's just get the season over with. Steven Gerrard can lift the trophy for the first time in his freaking life. You know, who cares?
Boom, roasted.
All right. Boom, roasted. Well, I'm just going to skip straight ahead.
He won the Champions League. I shouldn't have said that. First time winning a league trophy. Okay,
I'm going to skip straight ahead to this bullshit. Seattle 3 over Dallas.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And again, people talking about Nicolas Lodeiro, like,
I want Dallas to hang a touchdown on Seattle. I want Dallas to literally just hang a touchdown on Seattle.
And they're not going to.
Drives me nuts.
Dallas are doing the opposite of peaking at the right time. They are, like, valleying at the right time. Like, they are. That was a bad game.
Which sucks because overall, I honestly think in the playoffs, they are the team that plays the most sound game.
Usually.
Like, FC Dallas. Regardless, they're good.
And their fans are cool, too. And their fans are loyal and aren't bandwagon-hopping so-and-sos. I'm not going to swear, unlike Matt.
Oh, I already said I'm going to swear. It's the last podcast of the year other than our USA-Mexico special edition, which we'll announce later. But, I'm going to swear a lot on tonight's show.
I'm just saying.
I already have.
FC Dallas make me sad. I really wanted them to do everything and to win the trophy and to win the treble. But they're not. So, Vamos Galaxy. Let's go.
I agree.
You LA Galaxies.
Can they all lose? Is that possible?
No.
That'd be nice.
Because
we just don't crown a champion this year. Maybe there'll be a strike.
Will that be like the election?
It's MLS.
Cancel the election this year and hang out for a couple years and let's figure out this.
I just think we should just gift Obama a third term.
Can I just write in some other team for MLS Cup?
It's like Brewster's Millions. Everyone just votes none of the above.
Can we? Okay, I'm going way off track here, but if you were going to write in any team from Major League Soccer other than the Columbus Crew to win the Cup, who would it be?
That is MLS?
Yeah, yeah.
That is not an MLS.
I would write in.
I'm going to go with
LA Dodgers.
I'm going Vancouver Whitecaps. They're my write-in third-party candidate for
Goonies. Always Goonies, man. I'm good with that. I would always vote Goonies.
I would go with Salt Lake.
That's a good choice.
No, I like
Salt Lake.
I get on this day notifications from the Salt Lake playoff match in, I want to say it was 2009, and I'm salty.
Should be salty at our coach who didn't play our best player, but that's
it's true, but I'm also salty about the whole thing, and also salty that I watched that match at Hooligans and it doesn't exist anymore. So I'm salty about a lot of things around that tournament. So, Jake, you got one? Who you got? You're gonna pick Vancouver.
No.
Really?
I'm not. That's not in the playoffs right now.
Make MLS great again. Vote Vancouver.
I do like Vancouver. Great place. I don't know. Tampa Bay?
All right.
Mutiny?
Tampa Bay Mutiny?
Is that a thing?
Miami Fusion, man. Miami Fusion, never. Hey,
Beckham FC.
Bad news.
Carlos Valderrama.
What I'll say.
I'm like super biased, so if it's not the Crew, then I just hate everybody.
When we played Tampa Bay in the Open Cup, my exact quote was bad news rolls in from Tampa. So, Miami Fusion. We'll go with that. All right. I think that's it, guys. Do you guys have anything else? Do you want to do anything? Score predictions for the next game?
Like the season opener?
We don't even know what our...
Yeah.
We don't even know.
Dos a zero, baby.
Dos a zero.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Mexico's
we'll talk about
good.
That. We have another podcast that we just haven't told
people
about.
That was a tease.
Yeah,
Let's talk about it now. Let's get it out there.
No, because I haven't confirmed the venue yet.
Well, let's just say that we're doing a podcast.
We are doing a podcast the night before USA-Mexico.
Dos a zero.
In my house.
In Jake's house. We'll let everybody know exactly what's going on, probably within the next week via social media. But for that, let's go ahead and put this thing to bed, Sam. You ready?
Give me like 2 seconds.
Sam, all right. Music.
God damn it, Sam.
Well, I didn't realize you were gonna put it to bed so quickly.
Really?
It's
been an hour?
It's 9 p.m., Sam.
Yeah. For everybody on the show tonight, for Jake, for Alex, for Sam.
Welcome to the podcast, by the way, Jake.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
this
dude.
This was great.
You want to be on my roller derby podcast next year?
Sure.
Sweet.
I've got nothing else to do.
Sweet.
Cool.
That's what I'm doing next year. Doing a roller derby podcast.
It's a thing. I'm not subscribing to that.
I am teasing that right now. That's the thing. For Cashmere over there on Twitter, or Tinder, rather.
That's not
looking
cool.
For better options.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
That's cold.
It's fine. You'll forgive her. You're Canadian.
No, it's okay.
I'm just kidding, Cashmere. You're my favorite.
He's French-Canadian, though.
You're my favorite. My name is Matt Goshard. This has been another edition of the Massive Report. Never known to nap. Not going to sleep it out. I want to burn you. Yes, I want to burn you down.
Canada, my home and native land.
True patriot love.
That's all I got.
You don't know the rest of the Canadian
No, I do know it. I was just being a dick.